When persons living with intellectual disabilities enjoy full access to universal human rights, they can exhibit genuine physical and mental health. That's the perspective of Javier Vázquez, who observes the achievements and challenges of people with intellectual disabilities firsthand in his role as Vice President of Health Programs at Special Olympics International. Some 250 million people in the world live with a mental disability, yet their input is often ignored when it comes to their education, legislative decisions, and even their own health. Mr. Vázquez explained to Antonio Lafuente of UN News how the UN can help foster the relationship between health and human rights for people with intellectual disabilities.
The important thing in intellectual disabilities is that there is something called adaptive behaviors. These are the skills that any person has to have in order to function. And it's very important that under the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities that supports a reasonable accommodations, that people with intellectual disabilities have reasonable accommodations in order to exercise these skills. These reasonable accommodations are not only wheelchairs, are those accommodations that are needed in the area of intellectual behaviors and adaptive behaviors. And the convention protects these persons, and all countries should adopt policies in order to support these reasonable accommodations.
So why do people with intellectual disabilities die at a higher rate around the world than the general population?
It's a very important question, because a lot of people think that people with intellectual disabilities die because earlier, 16 years earlier, because of the disability. And that's not true. They died of the same illnesses than others. The problem is that these illnesses, in the context of people with intellectual disabilities, are not diagnosed, are undiagnosed or undetected, and they go through life without treatment. They are excluded many times because of stigma and discrimination.
And how are young people especially affected?
We have seen, for example, in our athletes, the adolescents, problems, for example, in oral health. Tooth decay, athletes, for example, without an eye exam for years. Problems of flexibility, balance, they can fall. The interesting thing is that you don't find data in the national health information systems. These people are invisible. So we are sharing our data with the governments and with the World Health Organization in order to make these people visible.
What's the intersection of human rights, universal healthcare, and intellectual disabilities?
When people with intellectual disabilities enjoy their human rights, they have genuine health, physical and mental health. When they exercise the right to education, the right to work, the right to have a family, they enjoy physical and mental health. In order to exercise human rights, all people with intellectual disabilities need to enjoy health.
What can every person do for a wider inclusion of people with intellectual disabilities?
A lot. Let's take the government. You have judges, you have legislators. They need to reform the national laws that do not allow people with intellectual disabilities to make decisions. Then you have the health workers. They have not been trained. They don't know how to communicate with people with intellectual disabilities. They never learned that in the medical school. Then you have the coaches in Special Olympics. They are constantly training and playing with the athletes. They can be health promoters. They can disseminate all the good stories of people with intellectual disabilities. And then you have the athletes themselves, because the athletes themselves are going to parliaments, are going to the United Nations, and they are sharing the obstacles that they face in order to exercise the right to education or the right to health or the right to work. These athletes are starting to transform, for example, policies in some countries.
How is the Special Olympics working in support of the Sustainable Development Goals?
Let's take the Sustainable Development Goal 3, health. We have three programs doing health. Healthy athletes for 20 years. Health screenings to millions of athletes. One of the visions that I have is that We are going to document all the data and the outcomes, for example, in Sustainable Development Goal 3, and give it to the UN and show this is what the movement is doing. You go to our games, regional or world games, you see thousands of athletes playing together on the field and respecting each other and in complete equality under the law. So now our task in the movement, in Special Olympics, is to document these contributions to the SDGs. We do not left anybody behind. Nobody's behind.
What are the future areas of collaboration between the UN and the Special Olympics?
I see many areas of collaboration. For example, you take the special rapporteurs, special rapporteur on disability or on the right to health, or the special envoy on disability of the Secretary General. They are traveling with us. They are coming to our games. They are learning intellectual disability. They are seeing our programs. We can work together, visit services, visit schools. We just signed an agreement with the regional office of WHO for the Americas, with the Pan American Health Organization. That is fundamental because the UN agency is helping the movement to share our data and to train health workers and to make healthcare sustainable. UNICEF, for example, is working with us. We have an agreement with UNICEF, working on education. I think that the movement is ready to present all the outcomes to the General Assembly and to propose a resolution on intellectual disability and human rights, specifically on intellectual disability, because 250 million people in the world have intellectual disabilities.